Those that have your Bible, in the 11th chapter of the book of Luke, beginning at the first verse, and we'll read down just a few verses. Come to pass, and as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased praying, one of the disciples came unto him and said, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. While Jesus was in a secret place praying, they came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, how many would have loved to have been back in the days of Christ? You would have loved to have heard the voice of Jesus talking to somebody. And again, I can't believe with all my heart, I can't believe if there was only one person in the Godhead, and that's Jesus, it looks like it would have been a very dead, dry thing to try to talk to somebody when you knew there was no one to listen to you but yourself. And wouldn't that be the way it was? If there is nobody but one person, and that's Jesus. And then if he's praying to himself. And when he sweat his great drops of blood and prevailed and said, I know you can do all things, and if it's possible, do this. Well, if he's praying to himself, all he had to do was just do it. Just grant it. But how many believe there was more than one will there? There was his will and the will of the Father in heaven that he was praying to. I'm so glad tonight that we've not only got God the Father, God the Son, but we have God the Holy Ghost, and they're all three working for our good to make us and cause us to get to heaven. Now, will you ever be able to live long enough to understand prayer?
Somebody said, I don't know about it.
Now, if we did know the value of prayer, I believe the very closest Christian that God has, many times we may skim the surface, but it may be after we go to heaven we'll realize the great value of prayer. Jesus Christ was in the world. He knew who he was. Now, when the devil did his very best to try to make him doubt who he was. Now, the devil knew who he was. He knew who he was much as God the Father. But now the devil said, I've got to win this battle, and if I don't, eternally and everlastingly, he has the advantage. He will conquer our kingdom if I don't defeat him. And so when he went out with the Spirit, and the Spirit drove in the wilderness, what for? To be tempted of the devil. And Jesus said, I went and met the strong man, and I overcome him, and took away his armor wherein he trusted. And that was when he met him on the grounds of temptation, and he overcome. What was the thing he threw at him? Satan's no dumb. He is wise. He understands. And how many believe that if he'll figure you up, he'll size you up, he'll scrutinize you, he'll sit and watch and ponder, and then when he strikes, he'll strike your weak spot. How many believe that? He won't try you on something you're not weak on. But one thing that he has tried over and over again, and when he sized Christ up, he was holy, sinless, pure, zealous for God. He knew who he was and all this. But one thing he had to do is make him doubt who he was before he could succeed. And he came, and the first temptation was framed as this: if thou be the Son of God. Now, if he could get him to doubt it, if thou be the Son of God. Imagine you thinking you're the Son of God. Now, even though he was here in the form of man, he realized there was a possibility, and if he knew, well, it's impossible. He's the Son of God. He knows who he is, and it is foolish to even think of doing that, the devil would have never done it. But because he said, it's one chance, and I'm going to take it, and it's the one that I figure that if I can only get him off on this. How many people today has gone back, and they've never gone on and enjoyed the privileges of God because the devil succeeded in making them doubt who they really are? Now, as you sit where you are right now, if someone had asked you, just who are you anyway? You'd say, I am one of the Lord's redeemed. That's true. What else? You have been saved. From what? From the curse. You've been saved and delivered from the kingdom of Satan. What else? You have been translated. You have been taken out of and put into another kingdom. And that is true. Sometimes we're not conscious of the privileges we have in that. What else? You have been changed from a child of the devil to the child of God. And we've got... Now, when we approach God, we must come knowing who we are. And Satan said, if thou be the Son of God. And he tried to persuade him to doubt that he was the Son of God. Jesus knew who he was. He just ignored it. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. I don't have to prove that I'm Son of God by changing stone to bread. But man shall not live by bread alone. But the point I'm getting at, when he was born to the Virgin Mary as a child coming up, I don't know just at what age God revealed to him the truth of the whole thing. But when he was playing with his four brothers, and the Bible tells us their names and the many sisters he had. So he had a house full of brothers and sisters that he lived with every day. Today it's your time to go to the well. Now Jesus, go on to the well. It's your time to get the water. And Jesus, this is your time to go cut the wood. And his father would say, come on boys, come on Jesus. We got to go out here and roof this house. He was the carpenter's son. He was not set on a pedestal, and he was not raised in a place to where no one could come near him. He was just like any other peasant home in that neighborhood where the children ran here and there. Why, when he came back and told them who he was, they said, who does he think he is? His brothers and sisters are here. Is he not the carpenter's son that's been raised up among them? Isn't Mary his mother and Joseph his father, the carpenter? And he was just coming. Jesus was raised up. I can imagine at times when they'd say to Jesus, well, how come you to think that you're who you are? 11 years old, when he was 11, when he was 12, when he was 13. And they would sometime poke at him. Do you know that when he entered in his ministry, not one of his brethren believed in him? They thought he was false, thought he was a nut. He slipped his gear. The mother tried to tell him. Jesus tried to live the example before him. But his brethren did not believe on him until after the resurrection. So we find there was a doubt, there was a block in his mind. But Christ knew who he was because he had been with the Father. He came from glory. He was in a world that he made. He looked about the tree. You say, well, did he have this knowledge? God gave him the knowledge. He knew these things because he said, I am either him or I am false. I'm a devil. But we know that as the mother sat down and explained to him, the angel appeared to me and said, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon us, and the power of the highest overshadow that which shall be conceived as the Son of God. And you was born, and you are the Son of God. Now, this is what the mother no doubt told him. And then he said, when I carried you down to Elizabeth, I knocked at the door. And that's my cousin. And when she came to the door and I spoke to her, she raised her hand and shouted and said, who is this? The mother of my Lord has come to me. Now, I don't know how much she opened up and just told him. As a child, she maybe one time wondered just what all I must say. But anyway, she said, and not only that, but as I spoke, the baby was filled with the Holy Ghost in the womb of Elizabeth when she heard my voice. And when the angels heard the great sound of the mighty angels singing, when you was born and in a manger. And those shepherds came in excited, their eyes bugged out, and they come running in. And Joseph was there, your foster father, and I was laying there in a manger. with hay, and the shepherds came in all excited and said how they saw the whole heavens filled with angels. And an angel said, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born a Savior." You see, all this he knew. And then at the age of 12, he was giving the lawyers their answers just like this, and they were talking to him. And when the mother said, "How come you to do this?" he said, "Mother, don't you know I must be about my Father's business?" He knew he was the Son of God. Then he knew if he was the Son of God, he's what the Word said. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that is made. Whether it is visible, if you can see it, he made it. Nobody else is responsible. He made it. It said, whether visible or invisible, whether principalities or powers, every angel is made by him, every great galaxy, every great planet, the great shining suns that appear as stars were made by him. Every vegetation, the sea and the earth itself, the rotation and the forming of it, everything that moves and functions was made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He came into the world as a Savior, knowing this, that he was in a world that he had made, and he came to his own received him not. But the point I'm bringing at, that's so great, and because, and he had all the power, he knew that his Father was in heaven, he knew that he came with a specific purpose, and he had all this authority and all, but to think that even with that, he had to find time to go to a secret place and bend his knees and take time to pray. I want you to listen to this. He saw the necessity of having to go before God and pray. And he wouldn't get through with his prayer real quickly by saying, "Father, I want you to bless me tomorrow now, and I'm going to a certain village, protect us there, and we pray that give us great miracles and all." No, it wasn't that. He would go to a place and he would spend 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours, 9 hours, and it said he would go into a place and spend all night in prayer. He wouldn't go up in the mountain and lay down and go to sleep and sleep all night, spend the night in the mountain. He would go up and pray in the mountain. He would. Now, what was he doing? He was laying before God the Father. He was exposing his soul to God so God could let the Holy Spirit move upon him and feed him and give him the power that's needed. And if the Son of God that was in a world that he made, that had the authority and power, if he walking in this old world in the form of flesh, how much more do we, as children of God, how much more do we need to pray? Now, how many believe this, that if there is one person on earth that knew the value of prayer, the tact of prayer, and how to go about praying, how many believe it was Jesus Christ? Now, notice, here it says, "And it come to pass when he was in a certain place praying, that when he ceased, the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When you pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And he gives the Lord's prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. We forgive also them that are indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you having..." Now, this is the scripture I want to leave with you tonight that I felt that God was giving to me to give to you. All of you, if you make heaven your home, you're going to come through trials and tests and other things. You're not going to get over them and have a passing grade just for going to church. Just not shirking your shoulder and saying, "Oh, it'll work out all right." How many believe there are certain things that come our way, the only way we're going to get through them and make a passing grade is get down and pray through them? You know what I mean? There are some things that will not just vanish away. You've got to take the bull by the horn and go before God, brother, and then prayer will get the job done. Now, when they asked Jesus, "Teach us to pray," he merely goes through this and says to them, Here's what you do. And he gave him the Lord's Prayer. And then on the heels of that, notice right in the fifth verse, right below it, and then he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight? Now, he's giving this parable. What is a parable for? A parable is to take a natural event, a natural thing that happens, to convey the reality of the real thing. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto this. Now, prayer, the reality of prayer, is just exactly what I'm talking to you here. So what are they wanting? They are wanting to know how to pray, how to get their prayer through. How many believe prayer is a powerful thing when it's done right? Let me see your hand. How many believe the world is filled with people that pray over, especially in the Orient places? They pray. Oh, they pray a lot of times, a lot more than we do. But their prayers never get anywhere. How many believe the word says that you must have your prayers to go into effect? Your prayers must touch God. Just because you're sincere, God will not hear your prayer because you're sincere. You've got to come. No man can come to me. They've got to come. No man can come to the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door to the sheepfold. By me, if any man comes up any other ways, a thief and a robber. There's many false gods they pray to, and they're faithful to pray to them, but God never answers prayer. But I want you to get this. In explaining it, it said, Jesus said, which of you shall have a friend, and you shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. Now, it's not the 3 loaves of bread that he's emphasizing on here. I want you to notice here. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend? That's the fifth verse. Go unto him and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. For I have a friend of mine that in his journey he has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. I have a friend that's arrived. He's come. And he's hungry, and I don't have anything to put before him. And he that is within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot arise and give thee. And I say unto you, though he would not rise to give him, because he is his friend, he's a good friend, but he will not rise to give him, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many loaves as he needeth. Now, Jesus is teaching him and the disciples how to pray. And to do that, if he told this and if we went according to this pattern, but it never would work, then Jesus lied to him. He led him wrong. But how many believe if we'll do what he says here, do it sincerely, as it mentions here, how many believe God will answer our prayer? How many here, when you get out and pray, you like for God to bang, do it right now, and you like to get your answer? How many like it that way? Let me see your hand. But now, how many believe, and you found by experience, that when you get out and pray, it doesn't always come immediately? But if you hold to that promise and keep knocking at God's door and keep praying, how many believe that God comes on the scene if you don't give up and begin to quit? Now, he says here that this man is needing some bread, and he goes to him at what time? At midnight. I feel that the height of my thought on this tonight that the Holy Spirit wants me to give to you is two things. His much importunity. He just stayed right there and knocked. Now, had he got there at 6 o'clock and knocked on the door, hello, it's Jim. Yeah, Jim, come in. Door's not locked. Open up the door. What can I do for you, boy? I'll tell you what. I've got a friend that just arrived, and I need about 3 loaves of bread. Why, sure. Mama? Get him 3 loaves of bread in there. Is that all you need? How about some cheese or jam? You need anything else? Nope. 3 loaves of bread. Is that enough? We got several. You know, when they cooked bread, you know, they cooked it and piled it up. They had a lot. You know, they'd cook it for a week or so. And so he said, no, that's enough. And if he'd have come in at maybe an hour later or 2 hours later. It might have been that the man would have said, well, yeah, come on in. We just got in bed. But what time does he come? Why didn't the Lord say that he came to his neighbor's house and it was night and they were in bed? And he knocked at the door and the man said, we're in bed and it's midnight and I'm not going to open up and give you no bread now. It's midnight and I'm not going to do it. You'll have to wait till morning. It was a hard time to get the petition granted, and so the Lord singles the whole thing around timing it, and he said there was a man that went to his friend at midnight. Now, if the midnight doesn't mean anything, how many believe Jesus would have forgot the midnight and just gone ahead and give the parable and said he went to his friend, asked for bread, and he wouldn't give it to him? So he said, I want it. Well, I'm sorry, but we can't give you no bread. But I'm going to get some bread. I'm going to stay right here until I get some bread. He'd have given the story that way, but he didn't do it. They're in bed with their children. What time is it by the clock? It's midnight. Now, what does that have to do? It has to do with a certain time of night this thing occurred. It didn't occur at 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9 o'clock, or 10 o'clock, or 11 o'clock. It appeared, or the thing transacted, at 12 o'clock, at midnight. Can you think of any other scripture in the Bible where the Lord has given parables of his coming and of the soon coming of the Lord, and that at midnight there was a herald going out saying, behold, the bridegroom cometh? Not at 5 o'clock, not at 6. They would have been ready, wouldn't they? But at midnight, there was a herald went out and said, the bridegroom cometh, go out to meet him. And they arose and went out, but there was some that would have been ready had he come at 6 o'clock. 7 o'clock, they'd have been ready. Why? Their lamps were trimmed. Their lamps were burning. Their lamps had oil in them. They were virgins and they were all ready. But because of midnight, it had delayed it. He said, and many other cases I could show you where it talks about the coming of the Lord at midnight. How many believe that assures there's a God in heaven, that in Pentecostal ranks, there was a time when people got on their knees before God, brother, heaven rolled open, and it seemed like they got their prayers through a little bit better, but at the end time, when it says darkness would cover the land, gross darkness to people, and when he comes, it's going to be a midnight time. How many believe that satanic darkness and sin and evil, and because iniquity abounding, the love of many are waxing cold? How many believe that he earmarks his coming at midnight? Then how many believe that he's telling us here that at midnight, when you need to go to your friend and watch the clock, and it is that midnight hour, here's what to do. Don't merely knock on the door and he says, who is it? Oh, it's John. I need some bread. Forget it. I'm in bed. Can't have. I will not rise and give you any bread. Okay, that's it. He's in bed, and he cannot get up and give us bread. So with his children, so we'll go. The answer is absolutely no. Comes back no. But no, he said he stays right there. And finally, the man got up and gave him all the bread he needed. He got exactly what he needed. And it wasn't because he was his friend. Jesus said he got up and gave him his bread because he didn't give up. He stayed in there and he kept knocking and kept believing. And because he did that, he got his answer because of much importunity. And then he said the same thing. I'll tell you another story and it'll make the same thing real. He said that little widow woman went to the judge and said, judge, I have an adversary. I want you to say the word and avenge me of my adversary. I've got to get help from you. You're the only one that can do it. And the judge looked at her and he said, woman, I don't have any time to fool with your foolishness now, and I can't take care of that now. Guards, take her out. And they took her out. And Jesus said the next morning, the little lady come. How many have read that in the Bible? And it said the next morning she came in. And he looked down and he said, "What do you want?" She said, "Judge, I'm the one." "Yeah, I know you're here. Yes, what do you want?" "I want you to avenge me of my adversary. I've got to get your help," said, "you're the only one that can help me." "I won't do it. Guards, take her out. I don't have time to fool. Did you understand what I said? Get out." "Yes, sir, Judge." She went out. If that had been you, you prayed, didn't get no answer. Go on out. Prayed, didn't get no answer. Have you ever heard people talk that way? You want something. Prayed two or three times, said, "We haven't got it yet." "No, but I'm going to get it. Thank God, I'm praising God. It's going to come." And you know what happens? You always get it. But it said the next morning she was there again. And the next morning she was there. The Bible didn't say one or two times. Her continual coming. And one morning she came in and the judge there, he got up. He said, "What do you want from me? I want you, well, tell me, come up here and tell me about it." And she came up and told him what it was. "All right, officers, take her out and see that this is done. And I'm tired of fooling." And the Lord said it wasn't because he feared God or regarded man. He didn't regard man or fear God. But because it was getting on him, she was just coming and knocking and knocking. He said, "If you'll do that, won't your heavenly Father avenge you more speedily?" How many believe tonight the prayer you prayed and the devil told you, you got an answer, it's no, go ahead and quit. He's a liar from hell. The Lord told you, because he understood if he had to get on his knee and he had to pray and he didn't get it the first hour, nor the second hour, nor the third hour, but he stayed there until he did get it. When he walked out the next morning, he didn't have to do much praying. He just had to do talking. He just said, "Be thou clean," and the lepers were clean. He could just walk out and say, "Lazarus, come forth." And he could come forth because he had touched God and prayed through. I want to ask you, how many tonight you have a problem? You have something that you prayed about. There's something that needs to be prayed through, but you haven't really gone, presented your case. Now I want to show you the two things in these two parables. That fellow didn't lay there and say, "Mama," what did he say he wanted? Did he just knock and say, "Hey, Jim, I want you to get up. I've got something I want you to do for me." He said, "Jim, I've got a friend of mine that's come at midnight and he's hungry and I don't have anything to set before him. I want 3 loaves of bread." You'll say, why didn't he at that time say 1 loaf? 1 loaf would do him till daybreak. And so common sense would say, ask for what you think you can get. If he's going to get out of that bed, he might as well give me what I want. If I got 1 loaf of bread, I wouldn't have any for breakfast. So I'm going to ask what I need in spite of the 12 o'clock hour. God said I can do it. I'm going to knock until I get it. And the devil is trying to shortchange you, thinking you can't do this. And I'm going to tell you this before I close here. A little lady over here sitting telling us this story. She's an associate pastor. Their associate pastors of Mervyn. They had an old, dilapidated, lop-eared 34 Chevrolet. I mean, it was a 46 Chevrolet, I think it was. Best I can remember, it was a 46 Chevrolet. It was an old one. And it still run, but it was an old one. And these kids were so ashamed of that Chevrolet that when they'd go to school, you just got through praying, "Lord, tell me something that'll help me. God's trying to tell you something to wake you up." How many believe God's as big as you can make him? And God can answer your prayer if you'll get desperate. And God wants you to get desperate. He wants you to make clear what you want. And they'd been praying, "Oh God, give us a better car. Just find us another a little bit better car. Maybe one with a few, not quite so many miles on it." And the kids had a boy and a girl. And the boy and the girl would say to Daddy, "Daddy, don't ever take us up there. Just turn here and let us out and let us walk to school." They didn't want the children seeing them get out of that old dilapidated Chevrolet. I would say it's 46. I may be a little wrong on that, but I know it is a number of years old, 46 Chevrolet. They'd kind of prayed about it, but they wasn't specific, you see. 3 loaves of bread. I've got a friend who want to put it before him. I want 3 loaves of bread. He didn't have to say, Mama, what did he say? He knew what he said. So he just knocked. No. I said I wasn't going to get up. He said, much importunity. Not a little, much importunity. You might as well leave. I'm not going to get up now. You know I've told you I can't get up. Not arguing with him. He's just knocking. I'm not leaving. And finally he said, all right, shut it up. Here I come. Jesus gave that with his own mouth to say it worked for him, it'll work for you. I'm on this end of the line receiving the prayer, you're down there, and I'll remember what I said, and I'll see to it that you get your bread if you come at midnight, and we're in the midnight hour, and a lot of folk are saying, you can't afford to go and wake up, Jim. It's late. People are not getting bread at this time of night. Other people may not get bread this time of night, but if you go over there and start hammering and knocking, brother, you'll get it. And let me tell you, prayers can go through in this hour, in this dark hour, in the end time just before Jesus comes, but it won't come just by sitting there and thinking, we better wait. He got what he wanted. He asked for 3 loaves and he got it. So let me say, finish telling you this. So this lady, they had prayed for the Lord to give him a better car. So they'd been praying about 3 weeks about it. And this lady was listening to the radio one morning. And a preacher was talking. And he said, hey, he said, I'm talking to someone out there in this radio audience, and God wants you to listen. You have needs, and God says he'll meet your needs. If God takes care of the sparrows, he'll take care of you. Now, he said, you have limited God, because it'd be so much of a job for God to give you something better. You just barely go ahead and put in a little request when God said that God will give you the desires of your heart. He said there's some of you out there running around in a 47 Chevrolet, an old, wore out thing that can't hardly go down the street. You're ashamed of it when you ought to get down on your knees. And you know what he said? She told me this stuff. Said he called the very model of the car, the very year of it, and everything. It was a Chevrolet sedan, or a 47 Chevrolet sedan. He called it exactly, and that's what they had. It was their problem. It was what they was wanting to get rid of and get something better. He said, if you believe God's word, you would get down and say, Father, I want you to give me a Fleetwood Cadillac. And God would just as soon give you a Fleetwood Cadillac in preference to that old lap-eared 47 Chevrolet sedan if you'd stand on your feet and realize you're God's child and God's word is real and not take no for an answer. God would give it to you. Oh, she dropped the towel and began to thank God and said, God, that's me. That old car's going to go. And she had a shouting spell and went to the phone, called her husband on the job. Said, honey, he worked a little on the side. Said, honey, we're going to get a Cadillac. She said, what in? He said, what in the world are you talking about? Said, you know this old 47 Chevrolet we got? Well, said, I was listening to the program a while ago, and I mean, that man is under the anointing. And he said, hey, there's someone out there I'm talking to. And he called the very model of our car. He said, if you believe God like you ought to, he said, you'd get down and thank God for a Fleetwood Cadillac, and God would give it to you. And she said, I dropped the towel. I felt the glory. I knew it is for me, and I praise God for it, and I know we're going to get it. He said, no way. I'm not asking God how it's going to be done, but a Fleetwood Cadillac, a Fleetwood Cadillac. So the person had a beautiful, streamlined Fleetwood Cadillac. They sold it. And the party was coming over to pick it up. They called him and said, hey, I'm sorry. I'm going to back down on this deal that we made. I told you I'd let you have this car. So the woman on the phone, I got the personal message from everyone I know exactly what happened, and said, I know the car, and I want it, and that's why I bought it. Said, well, now look, God spoke to me, and I'm not going to sell it. God spoke to me to give it to a party. She said, well, now look, I'm a Christian. I'm not only saved, but I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. If God told you to give that somebody, I wouldn't have that car if he tried to give it to me. And she's going to give him several thousand dollars for it. And I mean, that was several thousand dollars. And she said, it'd never do me a minute's good. If God's telling you to give that, someone said he certainly did, so I've got to do it. She said, all right. So he took the key and went over to Darlene, said, I want to go over and to the party and present this car to him. So they went over there and presented the car, had the car out there first, but went in, sat down, talked to him, said, now look, the Lord laid on our heart to, just both of them, my wife and I both laid on our heart to bring this Cadillac over here and give it to you. And here's the key. She began to cry and he began to cry and they had a shouting spell. Then she said, don't go, I've got something I want to tell you. And she sat there and told the story to my wife and I, because it was the wife's beautiful Fleetwood Cadillac that we gave to them. And God spoke to our hearts as we lay in bed to give it to them and not go ahead and give it to the one that we had already, secretary over there at Murray's Church, was the one that bought the car, several thousand dollars. And so she said, now let me tell you the story, how it happened. The other day, I was going along in an old Chevrolet, and told me the model, and it was a lap-eared thing. Brother, you couldn't sell it to nobody, you just junk it. But she said, Darlene said, the next day when they got ready to go to school, the kids were squealing, and they said, Daddy, go right up in front of the school, stop, and take your time. Let us get out. And said, Johnny, when you open the door, said, slam it real hard. The kids got out. And the last we checked with them, they were the happiest kids you ever saw in your life. It did something for that fella in the church. It caused him to start believing that God was up there. It was real. How many believe there is somebody that's in that bed that has already seemingly said no? If you'll just keep knocking, thank God, he'll come around with his arms full of bread and he'll give it to you. And God is saying to you tonight, don't quit and don't say no for an answer. Keep on standing and don't leave. Just keep knocking. And Jesus said, it'll happen. And if it's a little slow, say, Lord, you're the one I'm knocking on the door to, and you're up there. You're the one said it, not me. And you know I'm needing it, and I'm just still praying. And if you pray, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. Now that's what God changed me to give to you tonight, is this. Tell him what you want. Don't ask for one loaf. That'll last till daybreak. If you're going to need more when the sun comes up, go ahead at midnight. Right now, don't wait till you get to heaven to get it. Don't say, if I was back there 30 years ago, boy, when the glory, you could really feel the glory in the prayer room. You find you a spot that you can make a sound when you start knocking, and start knocking, and brother, God will begin to open the door to you. I want you to stand to your feet right now. Come on, stand to your feet. I want every person here tonight to come to the front, if you will. Just come up around the front here. And I want us to present ourselves to the Lord. And if you come up here and you don't have a thing in the world you need, there's nothing you can think of, spiritually, physically, or financially. And I've found out this. Some of the things that I thought was absolutely impossible, it seemed an impossibility. God seemed to answer those prayers quicker than any other one, because I dared to believe him for it. Praise God. Come right on. Oh, hallelujah. Now, if you've got a wagon load of potatoes and you spend 30 minutes telling them what kind of potatoes they are and how they don't have too many strings in them and how they bake good and you can put marshmallows on them, you can fix them that way, and then you just grab the lines real quick and say, get up! And you carry your bunch of potatoes off and leave your congregation standing there. How many believe that's a bad salesman? How many believe if I get up and preach a message like this tonight and say, now folk, there it is. Don't forget it. Let stand be dismissed. How many believe God wants you to do something about it? And how many believe he wants you to do something about it right now? The Bible doesn't say that the guy at the door knocking was big and tough, could have crawled in the window and whipped the daylights out of him. He may have been a short, sawed-off fella, and that guy in that bed may have been a great big guy. The Bible says he didn't get it because he outweighed him, or because he was stronger, or because he was very popular, or because he was some judge. It just said he was one of the peasants in the neighborhood that had a friend, and he needed 3 loaves of bread, and he knew he had 3 loaves of bread, and I want them, and here we go. He got the answer, no. He didn't quit. He stayed right in there. And he stayed right in there. What is Jesus teaching us? He is teaching us, don't quit when you start praying. Hold on to God. How many believe there's been a many a prayer that had to go in the it wound up in the no call for her department, because when you put the order in, God put your name on it and sent it forth, but you start doubting before it got to you. Now, how many tonight, there are things that you really need to touch God for, and you need to get from God? I'm serious. Let me see your hand. All right. Let me ask you this. You may not feel the need of it now, but if you go to heaven tomorrow and you arrive in heaven, you look back, you say, now, am I as satisfied as I should have been? Did I work for God like I should? Did I witness and talk to people? Did I get people to God? Did I help Brother Hibbert build that Gospel Lighthouse Church? Did I help to build that congregation up like I should? Or was I a little dilatory, just laying down and kind of getting lukewarm down there? Don't know even whether you're going to make it much if you get that way. But how many believe that God wants you to be working for Him? And are you satisfied with your progress? You're either stagnant, you've come to a stop, and you don't stay that way very long. When you slow down and stop, you start going back. Am I right? How many want to see this whole church move forward in a new dimension? You want to see the many that are coming in from denominational churches? You know, this church is so new. You look around and think, well, boy, it seems like I'm in another church. You ever see so many new people coming in? Huh? Sunday, have to look to find a place to sit. And I look around, people I've never seen before. We've got new people coming all the time. You know what? They need the Holy Ghost. They need individuals like you, so full of fire and so full. You talk a personal worker, say, God, make one out of me. And when they go back there to seek the Holy Ghost, is to find out if they do not have the Holy Spirit, kneel by them and assist them to go through. And if people come here that are unsaved, do your best to get acquainted with them and get them in. We need to begin to take hold of the fish that we're getting and string them up. And Brother Hibbert can't do it by himself. I need everyone to help me. Now, do we have the revival that we really need in our own heart? Is there a financial need? Is there a domestic problem? You'll say, ha-ha, that's laughable, boy. That can never be answered. It can be answered if you'll just stand right there and knock. Jesus said, you can get it. If it's midnight, and how many believe we are in our midnight experience now? When God gave me this stood out just in bold letters, midnight. I preached on this many times, but I never did bring out the midnight part. The midnight part. You know what happens to you at midnight? I'll tell you what happens to you. I said, pray, Peter. And he said, all right, Lord, thank you. Didn't he? Kicked him again, said, Peter, wake up and pray. Oh, yes, Lord, I'm sorry. John, come on, let's pray. Is that what Jesus said? Why? It wasn't 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Is it night? Sleepy time. Eyes becoming dim. How many believe in many Pentecostal churches today? People are sleepy. You know what he said? You know what he said? He said, lest coming suddenly I find you sleeping. If I find you sleeping, it's going to be too bad. Sleeping. You know what puts you to sleep? Night hours. Midnight puts you to sleep. He's not talking about laying down that bed. He wants you to do that. He's talking about a spiritual sleep. The Church of Jesus Christ today, in many places, are snoring. If we need to knock one time, we need to say, God, you send me something to wake me up. They call them, what do they call those pills out there, those truck drivers take? What do they call them, a lift, or what do they call them, a no-dose? Ha! Brother, we need a no-dose shot from heaven, don't we? To be wide awake, to be alert. Don't you think this is a very timely message? How many believe the Lord's sitting on the throne right now, waiting for our reaction? He said, they heard what I laid on my servant's heart. I changed his message and give him this. And they prayed for me to bless them, and now I did, and I'm going to see how they react. And he's waiting to see how you're going to react. What is it that you want him to do for you? Call it by name, start knocking, and if you haven't got it by the middle of the week, just say, well, I knocked, and he knows I knocked. He didn't say that. He didn't stand and say, I knocked, he knows I knocked. Hours later, 1 o'clock, what you doing, bud? I'm waiting, you know, I just kind of believe if I sit here and wait. You say all you want to, you got to make a fuss. Hey! Still here? And brother, he kept knocking. It said it was as much importunity. He knocked. And brother, let me tell you, when you ask God for something, you keep coming and praising God. Lord, I believe you. I'm letting you know I believe you. And you keep on. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. How many believe your answer will come through at midnight? Now, are you ready to pray? And when you pray, what's going to happen? You're going to say, Lord, now, right here, I'm going to start knocking. And the minute I knock, you're going to say, all right, hon, what is it? My servant just told you to do this. I gave you the parable. So what is it you want? It may not be 3 loaves of bread, but whatever it is, I want you to open your mouth and tell God what you're needing. And then from this moment, you just smile. It might be quick, because it might be but tomorrow, maybe the next day. And if you don't get it this whole week, next week, you say, thank God didn't get it, but I'm still knocking. And remember that he knows that you heard this sermon and you're still knocking. How many believe he won't forsake you? Oh, hallelujah. I want you to put your hands up over your head and tell God what you have need of right now. Come on, put it up. And I want you to tell God exactly what you have need of. Father, we pray to bless right now. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we love you right now. I pray that the Holy Spirit will take that prayer from every heart. Let it soar to the throne of God. Help us, Lord, when we pray, not to waver, not to waver, not to falter, but at midnight, oh God, help us to believe that you will arise and give us what we've asked. We're thanking you tonight, Lord. We're praising you, Jesus. We're praising you, Jesus. We're praising you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Wonderful Jesus, wonderful Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Instead of us going to the prayer room, it's going to take a few minutes to step back there. I want everyone to just drop to your knees where you are for a few minutes and just close yourself in. And remember the setting. You're asking God for this thing, and you're going to believe him until you get it. You're going to know that God's going to answer this prayer. Go right ahead. And then we can be dismissed when we get through. But let's get right a hold to God. While they're playing, let's open our heart to him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, Jesus. Will something, will it happen? And now I know. Well, he touched me and he made me whole. Well,
Well, I was shackled with a heavy burden, and I was laden with a load of care. Well, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. That's what he's going to do. For he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that flooded my soul. Something will it happen, and now I know he touched me and he made me whole. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles, for I cannot bear my burdens alone. If I but ask him, well, he will deliver. He'll make up my troubles so quickly to end. Well, I must tell Jesus. That's all you need. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burden alone. For I must tell Jesus. Well, I must tell Jesus. Well, Jesus can help me, and Jesus alone. While we're on our knees praying, I'd like for every one of us to lift our voice together. Let's ask God to bless the service Sunday and anoint Darlene as she brings the message Sunday morning. And as I bring the message Sunday night, let's just ask God to visit us with an old-fashioned revival. Father, we're praying now for the service Sunday. And we pray for in the morning when Brother Wise comes over. And he's going to speak for us in the morning service in the morning. We pray to bless him. And we pray to bless the Sunday service. And we pray to anoint it. Oh God, we pray to feed the hearts of your children. Lift each one of them up. And Lord, by Sunday, many of these that have prayed, that prayer might already arrive before Sunday. But if it doesn't, thank God, all they've got to do is just keep knocking, because you said, I'm up there and I'll hear your cry. I will answer it, and help them, Lord, not to slack up, but believe it. We pray to grant their petition. Anoint them with living faith to believe God in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. Will I come to thee? Will I need thee? I need thee, and every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, for I come to thee. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Wonderful.